Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome everyone. Page 1201. This is the Haftorah for Parshas Kisetze. We're in the Haftorahs of comfort. Again, we said the word is more than comfort. It really means Haftorahs of love or consolation. It's an idea that after the earlier Haftorahs of the doom and gloom, so to speak, or the destruction and the exile, that was Hashem's way of telling us that we need to change our course and we need to fix certain things. These Haftorahs are reassuring us and giving us an idea that even though life in the exile, life has its challenges, that things will look up and things will get better. And we'll certainly see that right away here. That was our introduction. We're on page 1201. This Haftorah is actually read twice. It's read this week and also in Parshas Noach, which you'll see why in a sense. Noach also was after a destruction, and the world was going to reboot and was going to start over again, and people felt the doom and gloom that, the terrible punishment that the world was destroyed and flooded. And with Noah came a new covenant, so to speak, that the world would rebuild, and that somewhat the message has to be that the temple was destroyed, and yes, we went into exile, but that's part of the plan, that there'll be ups and downs in life, and we have to fix ourselves after we fall, and we shouldn't get discouraged, and we shouldn't feel that Hashem's anger, because we had a hard time, means that that's what he represents. In fact, the opposite, that it's a time of growth and a time for us to, when something falls down, it needs to be put up in a way that lasts more permanently. So let's begin. Yeshayahu is describing the future time, and there's one view that he's referring to Yerushalayim, the city itself. To us, the city of Yerushalayim represents, Ki Mitzion, Teitzei Torah. Torah comes out of Israel, and Dvar Hashem comes from Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is more than just a city to us. So some people say this represents the city of Yerushalayim, but it really represents the Jewish people. And there are a lot of people felt frustrated that the Jewish people throughout the exile have been working for other countries, and there's so much Jewish blood and tears that went into building different nations. And what was going to be with our nation? Who was going to build the Jewish people? And so he begins with the following. The first word here, Rani, is the Hebrew word for a kind of song. The feminine form of that is Rina, which is a happy song. So the word Rani means like to sing. Today they have the Hebrew name Ran, which is, they like it because it sounds like an English name, Ronald, but Rina is a happy song. So Rani means like sing a happy song. And usually a person that was unable to have a child would be unhappy because one of the goals in life is to have children, have a next generation, and usually somebody that wanted to have a child and couldn't would be very sad. And he begins by saying that there are all types of things in life that we would have wanted to do and we didn't do, and we might be sad that we never did them. And he's saying that in the future, even people that couldn't have a child or couldn't do the things they want, they're going to sing the happy song. They're no longer going to be upset about that. Rani Akara, the one that was told them, some people say this refers to Sarah, who was unable to have a child all those years, way past childbearing years. Rani Akara, the one that could not give birth. Lo Yolada was who had never given birth. Now, we're going to see also that normally, in order to give birth, you at least have to go through labor. It's kind of hard to give birth without going through labor. You can ask anybody that. And yet, here we're describing that that somehow in the end it'll work out. In other words, when a person, the nation of Israel that did not give birth or was a country that was a wilderness and was a desert and was not growing, that had not given birth, Pitzkirina will open up in a joyous song, Vitzahali. And this word Sahali is also used often. It's almost like it's not like a quiet song, it's like he translated a jubilant. But it means like a song that just, you've got to sing it, you know, the depressed and sad people who feel that life hasn't happened the way they would like it. Guess what? In the end, those loyal people to Hashem, they will see that fruits to all of that. They will see things will happen. And lo cholu, and they won't have to go through labor. And ki rabin b'nei shomema b'nei be'ula. He says that there'll be even more children from the Yerushalayim was considered the desolate city, was considered the city that was wiped out, that the Jews were sent into exile, they were enslaved, they were shomem. It's almost like the word shomem means like desolate or empty. So there'll be more children from the woman who was unable to give birth and who everybody said was desolate and empty, the B'nai Bala, from the one that had all the children and all the... we get used to looking in a world where the nations of the world have big, spacious countries and built up and secure and multiple people, and we're the lone lamb amongst the 70 wolves, right? And so the tiny little Israel, who's the B'nai Shomema, the children of the desolate one, they will be much more than the other civilizations and other peoples. Now you might say, how does someone who never gave birth, how are they going to have children? How do you do it without labor? The answer is Omar Hashem. That's what Hashem said. When Hashem says something, anything is possible. And so it's almost a prediction that the world of Hashem is different than our world. The rules are different. And so it might seem that the Jewish people has been sterile or hasn't given birth, but in the future, they will give birth, so to speak, without the pangs of birth, and there'll be more Jews, there'll be more people than in other societies. Verse 2, there'll be so many people coming back, we'll have to make space. So a lot of synagogues or stores, when they have a really big sale, they put up a tent. So that's what they're going to have to do over here. They're going to have a big tent. You better add to the tent. You know, we got a lot of guests coming. There's going to be an overflow. I think one of Rabbi Feldman's weddings, he put up a tent in the back. You remember that? To add to the, there were a lot of people in the shul. But that's when you have a lot of people coming and there's not enough space indoors, you put up a tent and you add to the space that you got. So he says over here, you have to add to the tent. It's a symbolism also. The tent sometimes meant like the tabernacle or the temple. You better widen the space. V'yiris mishkan osayach, and you're going to add to the curtains. Yito alte choshki erchi, and you're going to have to stretch out and put up as much space as you can. To say, and you better strengthen the pegs. In other words, basically the existing space is going to expand. Verse 3. Ki yaminu smol tifrotzi. And you might have heard this from some of the songs that we say this Friday night. To the left and to the right and to the left will spread out. In other words, the Yerushalayim itself will expand. What's interesting, today you can go to Israel. I found this out because I missed my bus stop. I was supposed to get off a certain place. I hadn't been in Israel in a long time. And I was supposed to get off a certain place and I missed it. And the bus kept on going again and again and again, and all the neighborhoods looked alike. But I just enjoyed it because, wow, there's so many neighborhoods, so many beautiful, it was like, I was thinking, wow, look at Israel now, like all these, Yerushalayim used to be, just a few neighborhoods. It started off with the old city, and then they had Mei Sharim, and then they had, now you can go and you see neighborhood after neighborhood after neighborhood. They keep on adding and it's expanding, and there's all these new neighborhoods. And so that's all predicted over here, that it's going to spread out to the left and to the right and to the left. Vizarek goyim yushu, and the children will come back, and they will take over these nations. Va'arim neshamos, and cities that were abandoned or desolate, Yeshiva will be rebuilt. And we talked a little bit about this last week, that we actually can live at a time where you can see this happening. You don't have to say this prophet was really smoking something. You know, where did he get these ideas that, you know, Yerushalayim, which 100 years ago was an empty, desolate place, now it's expanding and there's building going on and there's not enough, they can't build the buildings fast enough to put people in. Well, some of it is Obama won't let them, you know, that's a different story. But they are expanding the city, and they're the places that were desolate a few years ago now where they're building on. And so that's all predicted. That's what will happen in the future. Verse 4. Now, it's interesting. It says that maybe we will be afraid. And part of the fear was, if we were kicked out twice and we're going to rebuild, so maybe we'll get kicked out again. Why should we rebuild? If we've been rejected, if we've tried and we didn't succeed, so maybe we should be afraid. Maybe we're not worthy. So he tells us, don't ever think that way. Don't be afraid. Ki lo sevoshi. You won't be embarrassed. Va'al tikombi. And you won't be, you have nothing to fear. Ki lo sakri. The embarrassment was this. Hashem's presence left us. Hashem is our partner. The Jewish people, Hashem is, we see ourselves as being, making a covenant with Hashem where He's part of our lives. We have a piece of Hashem inside of us, our neshama, and the Jewish people, without the presence of Hashem, it says that Hashem's Shechina, His close presence, was with us, and before the temple was destroyed, He left. In other words, that part of the deal was we were going to be the people of Hashem, and we would be worthy of having Hashem's close presence with us. And because we had sinned in certain ways, Hashem said, I can't hang around here anymore. I'm out of here. And He left. His Shekhinah, His intense presence, moved back, so to speak. And so we don't... and we're described as like a widow. Like a widow is someone who is used to having a household full of, you know, having a husband and having children and having lots of action. All of a sudden feels alone and abandoned. And the Jewish people is described like that widow, who's a widow is somebody who's feels like they don't fit. Where's their husband? Where's their children? Where's their whole household? They're all alone. They're just and it's sometimes they feel embarrassed because they can't participate as you know, the same as everybody else with a full household and so the Jewish people is described as a widow and feels like, well, the husband, so to speak, came and he left. He left the Jewish people. He said he got angry with us. So why should we try again? Maybe he'll get angry with us again. And so he's telling the Jewish people that forget about that. Don't worry about that. And the embarrassment of being like a widow, of being alone, of not having a man. Now this in a certain way was worse than a widow, because it wasn't that Hashem died, He left us because we weren't worthy of having Him. Lo tiskriod. Not only won't it happen again, but you shouldn't mention that anymore. That should never cross a person's thought process. There were people that when the temple was destroyed, they said, okay, God is angry with us, He rejected us, He abandoned us, so forget it. So, no, do not be afraid. Do not be embarrassed. This was a temporary thing. Verse 5, because guess what? Ki ba'alecha osayach, Hashem made you. It's not. This was not a temporary alliance. This was not that Hashem's intense presence was just there for a little while. No, Hashem's our husband, so to speak. He's our maker. He's part of us. And if you're not sure who it is, it's Hashem Svako Shemo. It's Hashem who has the ultimate power. And we should never think that even though at times we feel alone, at times we feel we can't feel Hashem's closeness, Hashem guarantees us that this is just temporary, that we have to keep at it, we keep up our faith, and there will be this comfort that He will come back to us and we will be able to rebuild and we're no longer going to feel alone or rejected anymore. And the word Tzvakos means Hashem has many different powers or forces that He's able to do this. And you might say, well, we're in so much trouble, where we have all these problems. The Goalei Hashem will redeem us. Again, the English words always confuse us, because, you know, redemption, I always think of those stamps they used to sell at the supermarket where you redeem them, or what is a redeemer, or a, you know, you redeem your coupons, you know, or the green stamps, or the, so somehow the word redeemer just doesn't cut, in modern language, I don't know what it means, a redeemer, but what it really means is we have all these reasons that we don't know how it's going to work. We have all these problems, whether they be health problems, whether they be family problems, whether they be financial problems, but a redeemer means he's going to fix all that. He's our goel. He's the one that can solve all these problems. And Kadosh Yisrael, he's the Holy One of Israel. Elokei, he's our God, and he's the God of the entire land. Yikra, he will be called. Verse 6. It's really interesting. So you might say, well, if Hashem left us, why should he take us back? We're like a person that it was like a marriage that had its challenges. And again, people that are married tell you that you know, young people, they have this vision that married people, that because you're married, that means that marriage is always easy and that you never have challenges. And they don't understand that that's part of marriage, is that you have challenges. And it's like a marriage where one side felt rejected or abandoned. But the person should know the Eishes Nurecha Kitimus, the wife, a person's first wife, or the wife, it doesn't mean their first wife, it means their wife of their youth. Hashem never will forget us. In other words, when people are committed to one another, they have their quarrels, but a person will never reject their wife of their youth. We are the, in the beginning of history, we committed ourselves to Hashem. And it's true, we've sometimes have been disloyal. Jews have adopted other religions, perhaps, and not been fully loyal to Hashem. But Hashem never will forget us. We're like the wife of one's youth. The wife, we remember, Hashem remembers back where we were young and we started out, and he'll never forget that. Omar Elokai, Hashem, your God, says that. Kind of, we threw our lot together with Hashem. In other words, when we were young, we didn't know what we were doing, so to speak. We were fresh out of slavery, and we were in the desert. We said, Hashem, you know, Hashem came with the Torah, and we said, Naseh v'nishma, whatever you say, God, we're going to do it. You know, we're fine. And life's going to be great. And he said, well, you know, what?
It didn't last long.
It didn't, well, 400 years, but that's the, you know.
No, but I mean, shortly
with the golden calf,
yeah.
That's true, that's
but,
true.
And there's always reference that we followed in the desert.
Right, right. There's an idea that Hashem has a loyalty to us, and that we have a loyalty to Him. And we sometimes would feel, well, we've goofed, we're not worthy. No, that should not be mentioned ever again. That should not even cross a person's path. So again, in the Holocaust, it's easy for people to feel that way. There were people who felt that Hashem rejected them because of the terrible suffering that they had, and we don't judge those people. But the message that Hashem gives us is that Hashem will never forget us, and that our these challenges are temporary, and in the future we won't even remember those challenges. And he speaks that out here again, and he's speaking to that. And it's very interesting. This Haftorah is like it reads like poetry if you hear it. It almost rhymes. He says, but let's see, verse 7. Berega katan azavtich. It's true. I left you for a second. You know, in Hebrew they say rega. It's a common word. One second. Rega. You always hear that because when the bus is about to leave, the people come down and they're shouting, rega, hold it. Hold the bus means like 1 second, I'm coming. You always hear that in the street. Rega. Like I would say that's like the most common Israeli word is rega. 1 second. But Hashem says 1 second, but rega cut. It's not even a full second. What's a small second? A short second. For a short second, it's true. Azavtich, Hashem left us. Hashem, you know, when you're angry, sometimes you need to walk out for a second. You need to take a breather. But you know what? Ubarachamim gedolim ekapseh. But with big mercy, I will bring you back. It's true. I rejected you. I abandoned you. I showed my anger. But I will come back with great mercies. Verse 8. Beshetzef ketzef. Again, there's a certain rhyme here in the Hebrew. There was a little bit of anger, b'shetzef ketzef. It's a with a little bit like a flowing anger, and then he mentions here histarti panai, rega. Again, he mentions for a second. You know what happened? I hid my face for a second. This in Hebrew is a common term. It's called Hester Panim. There are times that we don't see Hashem, that Hashem's... The metaphor for this, by the way, is the moon. That we say, like, the moon symbolizes Hashem. Like, sometimes the moon disappears, but it doesn't really disappear. We just don't see it. And so that's the Hashem also. There are times in life where we where is Hashem? Like, you know, we need him. We're suffering. We're going through a challenge. And it's like he's hid his face from us. We can't find him. So he says here, Starti panai rega. Hashem hid his face for a second, mimeik, but it's just from us. But guess what? Ubechesed olam rechamticha. But what's a second compared to forever? the hiddenness of his face, that's for a second. You know, to us it seems like a long time. You know, whenever a person's suffering, it seems like it goes on forever. Whenever a person has a hard time, it seems to last on and on. But in the scheme of forever, it's not very long. The Hashem hides his face for a second, but his kindness will be with us forever, rechamticha, and he will show mercy or pity. This word, rachem, we've had before, it means mercy. It comes from the word rechem, or womb. Just like a mother, the love of a mother to a child is one of the strongest things that we have, like a parent to a mother to a child, because she carried that child. She carried that child in her womb. So no matter what the child does, she... and most people would have rejected that child by now 100 times over if it was a friend or an even a mother. They just loved the child that they had. Hashem, they carried that child in their womb. So that's the description of Hashem's love for us. Richam Ticha, Hashem loves us. And Hashem is the one who's Goalek. He's our Redeemer. He can fix everything. And so this is the message again, after the destruction and after the being kicked out of our land and after Hashem's leaving us, that it was very difficult, but it's only for a second. It shouldn't reflect our vision of the long term. The long term vision is Hashem has chesed olam. He has kindness forever, and big mercy. And now, chesed. Sometimes a person Hashem owes us, so to speak, or we've earned the right for him to have mercy on us. And sometimes we don't deserve it. But chesed is, even though we don't deserve it, he does it because of his kindness or his love. We say that in benching. Sometimes we deserve it, and sometimes we don't deserve it, but we say, chen chesed urachamim, like, even if we don't deserve it, you could do it with kindness. And even if it's not kindness, take pity on us. You know, it's like a... but Hashem has that for the Jewish people. He has that love. He has that kindness. There was a time... It's not even anger. It's like Hashem just disappeared for a second. He hid behind the clouds. That's all here in verse 8. Beshetzke starti panai rega. It was just a rega, just a second. Hashem hid his face, but he will show kindness forever and pity forever and mercy forever. And he's our goal, like he will solve all the problems. Now he gives us a metaphor for that. Verse 9. Kimei Noach zos. This is like the flood of Noach. After the world was destroyed, Noah was afraid maybe Hashem would destroy him too. The boat was shaking. You know, when the boat was, people don't think about that, but the boat was in the water and the rain was coming pouring down. Sometimes the boats take on water and they sink very quickly. And the boat that Noah was in was a shaky boat compared to what he was going through. And when somebody's angry, sometimes things don't work out. And so... Hashem made a promise to mankind that even though mankind had fallen and made mistakes and needed to be destroyed, but that wouldn't happen again, there was a plan to everything and that people would... So this, just like the world had a rebuilding after the times of Noah, so too the Jewish people would have a rebuilding after the destruction of the temple. Ki mei Noach zosli. This is like the waters of Noah. Asher nishbati, and Hashem promised, me'avor me'noach od. Hashem's not going to do this anymore. The Jewish people shouldn't think that see that Hashem is like angry with us, or he's going to harm us, or that he's a god of anger. There is, Jewish history has known a lot of suffering, and so there are people that they see the suffering and they said, you know, what kind of Hashem is this? But a person has to see the goodness and the kindness and the love. And we all remember the famous story with Rabbi Akiva, that when he saw the fox come out of the temple and the other rabbis were crying, it's a matter of perspective. Every morning you wake up, you feel Hashem's love. You really have to, you know, you're able to eat food and enjoy the food, and you know, you're able to see, or you feel well, or some days you feel well, or parts of you feel well. There's so much to be thankful for, and it's just human nature that we always focus on what's not right. And it's really just losing focus on the goodness of Hashem. And so he gives this metaphor here. He says it's like just like with Noach, that Hashem promised it's not going to happen anymore. Kenishbati miksof alecha. Hashem said, you know what? I'm not going to get angry again. There's not going to be a third temple. We're not going to be destroyed a third time. Migaba. As an aside, the Yom Kippur War in the beginning was a catastrophe. The Syrians had overrun the front. And I think there were 7 tanks between them and Jerusalem. The Egyptians had overcome. And really, many people say that the Yom Kippur War was more of a miracle than the Six-Day War. Because once you lose a war, you don't get up. In other words, when a war is lost and the equipment is destroyed and the other side has the victory, they're just finished. Like the... They don't talk about this too much. Moshe Dayan had a what do you call it? Where the he had a
doomsday plan.
The news was so bad that he got depressed and he couldn't function. I mean, it was, and this is like a tough military day. On the third day of the war, it was just awful. The Egyptians had the SAM missile that they didn't know about, and it was shooting. They lost over 100 pilots, and they were taken by surprise, and they didn't have any tanks, and there was nothing stopping the Syrians. They were between us and Jerusalem was almost. They thought it was so successful. They thought it was a trap, and they stopped on their own.
Yeah.
But it was really such a. But we don't look at it as such a miracle because it was such a loss. And eventually we came back. Like, it was after we lost the war, and the war we were already defeated, we came back and we won it, which was just incredible. And he had this panic attack, Moshe Dayan, and the generals were trying to talk to him, and he said, Zechor ben Hashlishi, this is the third destruction. Because he thought that it was over, it was finished. And somehow, those 7 tanks, some of them managed to stop. Like, there were a few Israelis that had that, like, you know, that really threw themselves into it and saved. And then the Nixon, who nobody expected, overruled Kissinger, and they resupplied Israel. And a lot of things happened, and they were able to hold on. And the people thought that this was going to be it, that the Jewish people was going to be, he couldn't. He just blanked out. He just, being the general responsible, he thought there was just no way. There was just no. They were surprised on Mount Hermon. They were surprised everywhere. The Yom Kippur War was really a. Some people, they said that they felt that Kissinger did that on purpose because they thought if Israel would lose, then we can have peace. That was the. Somehow Hashem like. Saved us really from behind. Mm-hmm. After we had fallen, after it looked like we were defeated, we just, that's the... But it's hard to talk about that because we lost the beginning of the war and it's not a... But that is what happened. There was no Chorban HaShlishi. There was no third destruction. But he was so convinced of it on that day of the war that he had a panic attack or whatever. He was depressed on the... They couldn't reach him. He was totally washed. What happened was that they thought as soon as they would get the reserves and send them into the front, everything would be okay. And it didn't work that way. They sent in the reserves and they got eaten up. They got wiped out. Then Sharon really fixed things. He came. He had a secret. He had a plan where he got on the other side of the which river was it? It was the whole story. But it's very interesting. But the bottom line is there was no third destruction. Hashem swore that we had a have to. Undergo whatever it was, but Hashem swore that he's not going to get angry with us again. And so people have to know that it's true, the Jewish people have suffered and we're long suffering and life has its challenges, but being a Jew is not all doom and gloom. It's not about the suffering. That's there are things we have to fix, and sometimes you have to start over again to fix them. And
the Suez.
The Suez, right. Thank you. I knew it. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. That's exactly what it was, the Suez Canal. Yeah, he went around the Suez. It's fascinating, the story, but Moshe Dayan, who was not particularly religious, but he was saying over again, this is the third destruction. We know that Hashem said there's not going to be a third destruction. That's not the plan. The plan is that Hashem has love, and we have to live with Hashem in our lives, and it's taken us a while to figure that out, and there's a historical process. But this is the kicker here. This is the line over here on the final line of the verse, which is a very strong line that a person would do well to internalize this or think about this. Ki aharim yamushu. He says, you know what? You see those mountains? Have you ever seen a mountain disappear? Mountains don't disappear. They just don't. There's nothing, especially in their time. You can't, the mountain's going to disappear. Or, you know what? You see that big valley? That valley's going to be filled in. You know, like a valley is like the Grand Canyon or something. It's like empty, like there's nothing there. He said, you want to see the mountain? The mountain's going to move and the valley's going to be filled in. And v'chastin itach lo yamush. But you know what? My kindness will never disappear. And in other words, the impossible will happen, or maybe sometimes it does happen, but Hashem's kindness will never remove itself from the Jewish people. It'll never be far away, but the mountains will move, and the mountains don't move, and the valleys will be filled in. But ki aharim yamushu, give us to mutenu. He says the mountains may be moved and the hills may falter. I don't know why he calls them hills. I guess rather than a valley, it means like the smaller hills. But basically, anything can happen, but you know what will never happen? Chaste, my kindness, my love, my connection to you, me'itech, from you, my people, lo yamush, it will not move. Ubrish shlomi, and my covenant of completion and peace, lo tamid, also will not move from you. So, you know, all kinds of things can happen, and they may happen, but you know what? My kindness is still there. Other people say there's a discussion in some of our prayers where we refer to the mountains or the high peaks as referring to the forefathers. And Hashem loves us because our forefathers developed a special relationship to Hashem. Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, they were special, unique people, and Hashem accepted them to be the Jewish people. So there are people that argue that was a long time ago. We're far removed from the forefathers. They were called the mountaintops. In many verses, like in Shir HaShirim, when we refer to the mountaintop, we refer to the merit of the forefathers. And so there are people that argued, it's true, there were good Jews a long time ago, but today's Jews are not, they don't stand up. So what Hashem is saying, you know what, even if the mountains are long gone, and even if the hills, we don't make them like we used to, we don't have the righteous people like we used to have, but Hashem says, don't worry about that. My kindness is with you forever. Even if we don't have, you know, the Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, we don't make Jews like they used to, we're not as... Again, so many people, they feel distant, they make up excuses, they don't realize the connection that Hashem has to us that's withstood the test of time. We're here right now, you know, like after all the, you know, generations of history where we feel Hashem's kindness and he's here, and Hashem says that he's never going to remove that kindness no matter what. The mountains will move before that'll happen. And my covenant of peace, it's a very interesting word, what that means, the covenant of... Again, the word shlomi means more than peace. It means like a covenant of wholeness, lo tamud. Now, then it says, who tells you this? Merachmeg, the one who takes mercy. Now, by the way, why would we need mercy? The answer is even if we don't deserve it. Even if we're not, sometimes we do things that we really have no right to expect Hashem to help us out. So Hashem says, don't worry about that. Merachmeg, I'm going to take pity on you. And I'm the one that does that, and that's Hashem. And so this is a very strong, consolation, message of love coming into the high holiday season to begin that idea of comfort.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, And if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.